I am not used to screaming and yelling in church, but it's getting so much easier when we celebrate what God has done for us. We do not deserve it. We never can live up to it, and yet his mercy just never ceases to amaze us. Praise the Lord for that. We're so glad you're here this morning. And just wanted to share with you before we go to prayer that Rindy Parsons came through surgery really, really well. The doctors were very encouraged with her back surgery, and they feel like once the pain is subsided from the surgery that she will be doing so much better. We're excited to have Teresa Housley back in the house again after a really long neck recovery, and she's making progress. I know Cassidy is recovering after her gallbladder surgery, and still we know the brain tumor is growing back and that one day they're going to have to deal with that. But thank you so much for joining me in prayer and for the way that you encourage and love on them and support them through all that they're going through. So let's go to the prayer, to the Lord in prayer this morning. Father, we just don't know where to start. Thank you for arresting death. Thank you for calling us out of the grave. Thank you for giving us life. Thank you for the promise of your presence and walking with us. Thank you, Lord, for your incredible mercy and your incredible love. We stand humbled before you this morning. We come with hearts that are overflowing with gratitude. And we just tell you, Lord, that we love you. And we thank you so much for your goodness to us. Thank you for answering the prayers that we've prayed on behalf of our friends and all the medical situations that have been going on. Lord, we know that you're in control. We thank you so much for hearing and answering. And we pray for your continued healing touch on Rindy and Teresa and Cassidy, Lord, and many others as well. We just ask that you would be glorified even in their suffering and that you would use the way that you have worked in their lives to be a testimony to those around them who desperately need to see again that you are real and that your love is amazing. We ask that you would be with us now as we continue to study your word together, that you would teach us, Lord, that you would challenge us, that you would give to us the nudge that we need if we're kind of just sitting on a log this morning, that you would wake us up and remind us that we need to be involved and that we need to be passionate and that we need to be excited about our walk with you. And we pray that as we continue to talk about discipleship, that you would lead us, Lord, to that place where we might have confidence in our salvation, that we might have the assurance that we truly are part of your family, and that we might serve you with joy, and we might love you with every fiber of our being. And we just pray, Lord, that today would be a great starting point for us, and that you would continue to challenge us day by day, that we would choose to walk with you. And so we commit this time into your hands. We pray, Lord, that you would be glorified in it. And we'll thank you so much for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you would have been with us the last few weeks and you'd remember that we've been talking about discipleship. We've been talking about the assurance of our salvation. We kind of began all of that with this horrifying question. What would it feel like for you or for me? Worst case scenario, to stand before the Lord at the end of our life and to hear him say to us these words, "Depart from me, I never knew you." And the last 3 weeks really have been all about how to be sure that does not happen to you. I mean, because the Lord says in Matthew 7, it is going to happen to people, and probably more people than we would ever guess. And even more surprisingly, it's going to happen to people that we might never, ever guess that it's going to happen to. People that are involved in church work. People that have been part of, you know, what we might see from human standpoint, movements of God, healings, and other evidences of and a familiarity with the supernatural. And yet even that doesn't translate into the assurance of salvation. And so the Lord in that context was using that to prepare the listeners for kind of that final statement. The one that hears my word and does it, that's the one that has assurance of salvation. That's the one whose house is built on the rock. That's the one who doesn't have to fear in time of storm. And so we ended up looking at a handful of verses, and I'll just remind you of them quickly, or at least parts of them. 2 Corinthians 13, examine yourselves to see whether you're in the faith. Test yourselves. Over in Philippians chapter 2, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. You work out what God has worked in. You give evidence of what's happened inside of you by what goes on as a result of what you say and do and where you go and how you treat other people. 2 Timothy 2:15, do your best. Make every effort. You know, we might say today, work your tail off to present yourself to God as one approved. And then the main text in 2 Peter chapter 1, be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and election. To prove to yourself, God knows, but to prove to yourself that you are genuinely part of his family, he says, be all the more diligent. Now, I don't know about you, but all of those words sound like action words to me. They sound like verbs. They sound like effort must be a part of them. And yet sometimes as you look at your own spiritual life, I'll be honest, I'm sure you do not see the effort that's really reflected in these verses. And you might say, well, I go to church every week, and that's awesome, that's great. That's the very minimal effort that you can offer. And it's not even really an effort that involves you personally, because you come, you sit. You don't necessarily have to follow along. You don't necessarily have to really, really work in the text, trying to understand it, trying to apply it. You can just come and be a part and go. You can come and belong and leave. And that's not the same kind of examining, testing, working, presenting, confirming that Scripture talks about. You know, Peter even goes on to say, if you practice these qualities, and if they're increasing, he said, you can have assurance that you know the Lord is your Savior. So let's remind ourselves what those virtues are. Faith is that personal faith in Jesus Christ. It's the beginning. It's kind of the bedrock of your spiritual life and your spiritual relationship with the Lord. And then to that, he says, add virtue and knowledge, self-control, steadfastness, godliness, brotherly affection and love. If you are practicing these, if they are increasing, he goes on to say, there will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Richly provided for you. And so really honestly, you come down to the realization based on Scripture that there are two options. There are two possibilities that will happen to you or to me when we stand before the Lord. The first one is that one we've already referred to, depart from me, I never knew you. And all of the arguing and all of the buts won't make any difference to the Lord's final decision. He knows those that belong to him. And the saddest news that you could ever possibly hear is that even though you felt like you've been involved in God's work and you've been involved in God's family, yet you do not know him in a personal, intimate way. That's option number one. Option number two is the polar opposite and looks like this. Can you imagine that? This painting is called First Day in Heaven. And maybe we should say the first 10 million years in heaven. I don't know about you, but when it comes to option one or option two, I know which option I want. I want to be in the arms of my Savior. I want to just be hanging on for dear life, not because of what I've done, but because of what he's done for me. And I know that's what you want too. And so the question we begin with this morning is how? How in the world can we be sure that this is what's happening at the end of our life? And not the surprise, I never knew you. One of the ways that we are going to suggest, and really is kind of the punchline to everything we've been talking about this year in discipleship, is just simply being willing to begin a relationship with another person or another couple of people in which you practice these virtues, in which you add these virtues to your spiritual life. And you might say, well, you know, discipleship is not necessarily the only way. No, it's not. But I want you to know it is a great way. Because honestly, if you look at your own spiritual life right now, you could say, well, I've been doing what I've been doing for X number of years. You fill in the blank. How long have you known the Lord as Savior? I've been doing it kind of my way for this number of years. Are you happy where you are? Do you feel that strong bond of intimacy with the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you feel like when you pray, He hears you? Do you see the answers that He gives? Do you feel like when you open Scripture that it comes alive for you? Do you find yourself looking forward to spending time with Him every day? Truth is, human nature so often kind of overrules our best intention. And we get to the middle of the week and it's like, oh, that's right, man, I didn't really spend time with the Lord Monday or Tuesday or today, but tomorrow I'll do it. We get to the end of the week. Weeks get crazy. All kinds of activities going on. Week by week by week, we find ourselves oftentimes looking back going, man, I didn't really do what I wanted to do this week. And after a while, it just becomes the habit that we live with. And we say really, really crazy things like, the Lord understands. No, He doesn't. He said, I died for you. I gave my Son for you. I stand here before you every single day saying, talk to me. Pray to me. Ask me questions. Invite me into your life. Give me what's going on. Let me take your hand and walk with you through these things. But you leave me standing outside the door. I'm knocking and I'm knocking and I'm knocking. But you're not inviting me in. He doesn't understand. And one of the things that I think we so often forget is what we are passing on. I mean, just stop and make this register in your brain. You have at your just your everyday access. You have at your disposal. You have anytime, any day, the greatest power that this world will ever know at your disposal. You have this greatest wisdom and source of wisdom that this world will ever understand, sitting just waiting for you to engage. And we say really, really silly things like, well, I'm busy, I'm watching CNN. Well, I'm watching the evening news, I need to find out what's going on in my country. We need the wisdom of God. We need His power in our life. Our country desperately needs what He offers. And we are never going to get the message out by listening to all of their heads rattle day in and day out. The time we spend with them is time we don't have to spend with Him. The time that we go to them first or second or third, it's the time that we make Jesus come in 10th, 11th, or 12th in our time frame. And all of the intentions that we have that are great are no good whatsoever if they never move from intentions to actions. And so I come back to it again. Discipleship helps us in that arena because you know that your partner or your group that you are meeting with are going to look you in the eye and they're going to ask you those hard questions. What did you do this week with your Savior? Where did you read? How did your prayer time go? What answers are you seeing? What changes are happening? And sometimes just that little additional nudge. And let's be honest, it's just fear of not having a good answer. Is sometimes all it takes to make us prioritize a little bit differently. And I've told you before, I feel like I am the most blessed man in the world because every single week I have the privilege to stand up here before you. But what makes it so much more meaningful is that I have a week to be terrified of standing up here before you without anything to say or with just something to say. And that terror drives me to the very place where, honestly, I often don't have enough just flat out love for Jesus to go and spend the time that I do because of the fear of leading you astray, of messing you up, or of having you be able to go out after it's all over and say, wow, that was a waste of time. You need that same incentive, maybe on a smaller scale. And being involved with other people helps that to happen. It's also something that you and I need to admit to. Our society, our culture today is pushing us more and more toward being isolated. We're doing more of our interactions through electronic devices where we can control how it looks and what it says, where we can hide what we don't want people to say and what we don't want people to see. And as that just continues on and on, we withdraw and we don't spend time with people and we miss the opportunities for folks to call us on our junk and to make us be honest and to make us accountable to them. Discipleship is just one of the ways in which we challenge that increasing tendency of human nature. Sean Johnson's one of the pastors at Red Rocks. And he has written a book on discipleship that's called Transit. It's a book you're going to be hearing a lot more of because we're going to be referring to it. It's a book that we want to use and to give out to you in your discipleship relationships to encourage you in your growth. And that's really the title of this book is Transit, moving closer to God. And for most all of us, when asked the question, are you as close to God as you ever want to be? The answer is always going to be no, I want to be closer. And so we'll follow up with what are you doing about that desire to be closer? Because again, it takes effort, it takes engagement, it takes us examining and testing and working and proving and confirming. And those are action words that require energy and they require consistency. And so to begin with this morning, in this book, he kind of lays this all out as different vehicles that God uses to bring us closer to him. And quickly, they are prayer and Bible study and relationships and serving and giving and sharing. These aren't radical concepts. And probably nothing that we talk about is going to make you go, wow, I have never heard that before. Just blew my mind. You're not going to say that. But what this is all designed to do is to invite you into a vehicle, to encourage you to get behind the wheel and take it out for a spin. And so we just, this morning, begin with the first one, prayer. I mean, you and I know it. Prayer is absolutely the single greatest activity that you and I can ever be involved with. Do you really believe that? I mean, do you really believe that prayer makes a difference? I think it was John Wesley, one of the Wesley brothers, who made this statement, which just caught my attention. He simply said, God does nothing but in answer to prayer. And I thought, really? Is that true? That there's nothing that God does outside of the prayers that we pray? I'm not really going to try to answer that one. But I am struck with the connection between how much our Father wants us to ask and His delight in answering. Even if there is just the remotest possibility that that is true, how then can you and I leave absolutely anything in our life and existence unprayed for? How can we possibly look at our friends who don't know the Lord and say, yeah, Lord, just do whatever with them? How can we look at our children as we're raising them and just say, may your will be done in their lives? No, God wants us to ask Him to bless them, to challenge them, to grow them, to convict them, to draw them into His family, to cause them to see their need of a Savior, to cause them to come to know firsthand the incredible joy of a relationship with Him. These are prayers that need to be prayed every single day. And for the people that you love, there should not be a day goes by that you don't pray for their salvation or you don't pray for God to work in their lives. Even when the Lord was on the earth, you remember the parables he talked about. He told in order to teach the importance of prayer. One of my favorites is the unjust judge, right? You have a widow lady who's being taken advantage of in their culture because there's nobody to defend her. And she can't hire a lawyer, and she can't go to the church, and she can't get men to stand up for her because she's alone. And so what does she do? She starts badgering the judge. And she's sitting outside his door when he gets up in the morning and comes out the door. She sits outside his office when he's going in and out, and every time she sees him, she badgers him, help me, help me, help me. And Jesus makes this statement. He says, if the unjust judge finally does what she asks just to get her to shut up and leave him alone, how much more will your heavenly Father answer your prayers that you pray night and day to Him? I mean, that's how much God wants us to interact with Him. He wants us to ask Him to work. We don't always know what to pray for. And that's okay. I mean, so many times when you and I are praying, we say, Lord, it would be best if you just took that cancer out of that person completely. Man, we'll praise your name. We'll shout it from the rooftops. The whole town will know. You will be famous. But, and this isn't lack of faith. This is just an admission. We don't know what God's plan is. But Lord, if that's not your will, then would you give grace to that person? Would you give them strength? Would you walk with them? We will shout that from the housetops. We will let our town know as they watch this person, in some cases, fade away into eternity. We will praise you just as much because you are a good God and you do all things well and you have promised us that everything works together for good to those that love you and to those that are called according to your purpose. We don't always know what's right, but the one thing that we begin with that just really cement our confidence is that statement that's been on the screen. Prayer changes things. Prayer changes things. And you also need to remind yourself of kind of that sub-point that prayer absolutely, always, without exception, works. There's never a time when prayer doesn't work. And again, you need the illustration. You're a parent. Can you say yes to absolutely everything that your child requests? course you can't. Nor do you want to. And you might be quick to add, that's part of the problem with America today, is that parents are saying yes far too often. Our Heavenly Daddy is no different. We don't have the sense to ask for what is best for us in every request. We're just not that mature. But I'll tell you something, the more mature you get, the better your batting average becomes. Because you're no longer asking for what you want, you're asking for what you believe is best. And of course, one of the things that's always best is that God is glorified in the answer of that prayer. But if you and I truly believe that every time we prayed, it worked, would we not pray more often? Would we not pray with greater confidence? Would we not pray with assurance that what we're really doing is inviting God into the situation to reveal His glory and accomplish His will and wow the world? And that's our privilege. That's our honor to be involved with that. Kind of a perfect illustration that comes to my mind is when the Israelites were fighting the Amalekites. And it was in Exodus 17. And so, getting ready for battle, and you remember, Moses says, okay, I'm going to go up on the hill, and I am going to intercede for you. And so he goes up, puts his arms up, right? As his arms are up, Israel prevails. They win, they're winning the battle. When his arms get tired and he gives them a break, the tide turns, the momentum changes, and the Amalekites, they start winning. So he gets his arms back up, but he can't hold them up there forever because they get too tired. So what's the solution? Well, we get Joshua and Aaron and Hur, and they go up with him. They sit him down on a rock, and they hold his arms up. And it says that Joshua overwhelmed Amalek and his people with a sword. That's prayer. That's what it looks like in our life when we pray and we intercede and we cry out to God and we beg for His involvement. It changes things. It changes the outcome. It changes the course. And we need to have such confidence in that that we pray regularly. We pray on the spot. We pray impromptu. We pray driving down the road. We pray at work. We pray at home. There needs to be that time when we get alone with the Lord before our world starts spinning out of control every single morning and get down on our faces and say, Lord, this is your day. I don't know what you have in store for it. And honestly, I'm a little bit scared to ask for a sneak preview. So let's just kind of get into the day. You do what you are going to do. And give me grace to be alert and ready to be a part of it. But here's what I'm asking. I'm asking for the salvation of these people. I'm asking for your grace and mercy on these people. I'm praying that you'll walk with my wife and you'll encourage my children. That you'll bless my grandchildren with a heart to know you. And the more specific that you can pray, the more easily you're going to see answers to prayer. Pray specifically for the Lord to do things for someone during the day. And then check with them later in the day or the week. Hey, by the way, how was your Monday? Well, you know, it's funny you should ask. You wouldn't believe what happened. And they will go on to tell you exactly what you prayed for. And instead of going, wow, I'm going to pray for $1 million tonight. No. What you'll say is, can you believe that God was honored to answer my prayer? It's like He's inviting us. Come on, ask me. In fact, in Malachi, in the concept of giving, He says, man, test me. Try me. You give what you're supposed to give. Stop robbing me of the tithe. You give me what you're supposed to give me and just test me. Just watch. And see if I won't open the floodgates of heaven and bless you. This is the relationship that a disciple has with his master. This is how a mentor influences the mentee. This is the kind of encouragement that you get from somebody when you're in that discipleship, you know, relationship, and the one looks at the other and says, "Well, did you pray for that?" "Well, yeah, no, it's just too big a deal." "No, it's not too big a deal." Or, "It's way too small a deal." "No, it's not too small a deal. Come on, let's just stop right here, right now. Let's pray. Let's pray specifically. Let's ask God to do great things. And let's watch." I mean, that's what happens in discipleship when it comes to this prayer concept. And so that's number one. Prayer changes things. Number two is one that you and I don't think of real often, but it's just as true. Prayer changes you. Prayer changes me. Every single time we go to prayer, God changes us. I mean, one of the examples, the verse that comes to my mind is in Philippians. "Don't be anxious. Don't be nervous. Don't worry about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." And there's God again going, "Ask me. Just ask me." And what happens in return? That he says, "The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." He changes you from anxiousness and worry and fear and uncertainty to peacefulness. And I hope you'll notice that he doesn't say, "And I'll always give you exactly what you ask for." That's immaterial. That's kind of the added blessing when that happens. That's just the added blessing. But what really happens, what transaction really occurs, is that when you choose to pray, he chooses to change you. He draws you closer to himself, right? You sense his love. You sense his provision. You sense his caring. You sense that there is a partnership that is going on. I know you've had people come up to you and say things like, "Hey, would you pray for so-and-so? Because you're a lot closer to God than I am. And you seem to get your prayers answered a lot more than I do." And it's kind of like you just want to say, "Wouldn't you like to fix that? Wouldn't you like it to be the other way around? Where you enjoy such a relationship with God that you know that you can go to him and ask him for whatever it is, and he is going to answer that prayer?" I mean, I'm embarrassed to say that there's times when I go and I ask him for this, and he gives me this. Or I ask him to do some tiny little thing, and he does so much more that I'm ashamed that I didn't even think to ask for something that big. It's like, come on, John, try me, test me, invite me to do big things. Invite me to grab that person by his ears and just shake him until they both come off. Come on, invite me to do that. I want to move in those hearts. I want to see lives changed. But I want you to be a part of it. Prayer changes things, changes you. It makes a difference in you. And regardless of what the answer is, every single time you pray, God moves in to change you. Sometimes in real subtle little ways. Sometimes in huge ways. Sometimes it changes the way you view prayer. It changes the way you see God. It changes the way you understand why you're here. Oh, I've had the privilege over the years to meet a few of those teeny tiny little people, you know, elderly, some of them curled up, kind of all misshapen. They can't really volunteer much. They can't really do much because they're physical limitations. But I want you to know, boy, they know how to pray. And when you have someone that you can just call and say, "Hey, I got a really, really, really heavy request. Okay, Pastor, I'll take it. And you just know that that prayer, that request is going to get prayed for harder and deeper and longer, with more passion and more intensity and more faith than it would ever get prayed for if you were praying for it. And that's just like, oh yeah, they can't do anything else. You go ahead and pray. No. Prayer is the action, I think I read this once, by which we touch the nerve that moves the finger of God. And we're involved in that. And we're invited to be a part of that. And so when it comes time to your beginning of your day and you start thinking, well, I need to pray, but boy, I have so much to do. Would you just remember that? Prayer changes things. Would you remember that prayer changes you? And the third point, would you just remember that prayer always, always, always will move you closer to God? It's this first vehicle. How do you get closer to God? You pray. You can't just make the decision, well, I'm gonna just get closer to God today. Okay, God, here I come. I'm moving in. All right, great. That was awesome. Now let's go do. No. You get closer to God by getting in the vehicle and exercising that vehicle as it takes you where you want to go. And I just love that imagery in James, where he just says, you know what? If you'll just draw close to me, I will draw close to you. And it's like, as often as you do this, I'll do this. As often as you make the effort, I'll meet you halfway. Oh, and there's times when I go to him and say, I don't feel close to you. And I don't even know that I want to be closer to you, but I'm trying. And he's like, okay, that's all I'm asking. You just make the effort. Just do what I'm asking you to do. Just initiate. Just start. There's so many times when you get down to pray, distractions are everywhere. The phone's ringing. All kinds of stuff is going on. You're thinking of a million things that are more important than doing this. You just cry out to the Lord and say, Lord, help. I don't want to pray to you now. I don't want to talk to you. I am so distracted. I'm so whatever. And I know it's all the enemy. I know it's not what you want. Would you please just surround me with your presence? Would you enable me to know that you're meeting with me and that you want to talk with me too? You know, it's just like, whew, and the blanket comes over. And as you keep pushing, keep striving, keep making the effort, sometimes it's a lot of work. Sometimes it just happens so naturally that it really feels like you just went and crawled up in your daddy's lap and you're just talking to him. But it will always move you closer to him. Friends, prayer is such a huge privilege. It is such an awesome tool. It is such a deep and eternal relationship. And yet I could probably make such a simple statement as this, that all of our troubles and all of our disappointments and all of our frustrations and everything that we might see that's going wrong in our life, we can attribute to a lack of prayerfulness. And don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying that if you would have prayed that you would have gotten everything that you asked for. I'm not saying that, but I am saying that if you would have prayed, you would have realized what it was God wanted you to realize. You would have learned the lesson. You would have seen his hand at work. You would have recognized the answer, which maybe was no, maybe it was not yet. Maybe it was keep asking. There's a little bit more change that needs to happen in you before I can give you what you're asking for. Or sometimes it's just that, yes, I'm so glad you asked. I've been waiting for 35 years to give you the answer to this prayer, just waiting for you to ask. Discipleship just represents the relationship that you and I want to have with our Lord. And this first vehicle that really we just have scratched the surface on is prayer. I won't scare you, but I have like 3 more pages of examples from the Old Testament that I kind of want to walk through with you. I want you to stop and think about what must have Abram been going through when he was offering up his son. You know, what was Jonah thinking when he was in the belly of the whale? And all of these different characters that cried out to the Lord. What was the dynamic? What were the circumstances? One of my favorites, and I didn't realize this, I'd forgotten Manasseh, one of the most godless, wicked kings in all of Israel's history, was involved in child sacrifice, was involved in building the high places and worshiping all the gods that were the wrong gods. It was just a really bad man and a horrible example. God sends the Assyrians in. And it says with hooks and chains, I don't know if that's a fish hook through his cheek, and chains, they cart off the king. And then it says Manasseh humbled himself greatly before the Lord. And he cried out to the Lord. And the Lord heard his prayer. The Lord heard the prayer of one of the most godless kings in all of Israel's history. And it says, the Lord brought him back to Jerusalem. Man, if he would do that for Manasseh, there's a really good chance he'll do that for you too and for me. But he's just asking, would you please ask me? Would you invite me? Would you wait on me? Would you engage with me? Prayer. It'll change the circumstances. It'll change the outcome. It'll change you. And it will always draw you closer to the Lord. And if you're serious about your walk with Him, this is your first step. You get yourself maybe a little notebook. You start writing down what it is that you're asking God for. You keep track of when He answers and how He answers. And you just keep that list going. You just keep that journal going. Because you and I can never lose sight of the truth that prayer is the beginning of a deeper and more meaningful relationship with our Savior. Let's pray. Father, we are humbled that you would love us so much that you would want to talk to us every single day. That you care about what is going on in our life so much that you're just waiting for us to invite you to help solve the problems we can't solve. You're just waiting for us to invite you to help us to enjoy the life that you've given to us in a way that we could never enjoy on our own. You're just waiting for us to ask you to give us eyes to see and ears to hear and a faith to move mountains so that you can absolutely overwhelm us with what you want to do. Oh Lord, we know that you give good gifts. We know that when we ask you for an egg, you're not going to give us a snake because you're not a bad father that way. But Lord, we so often are prayerless instead of prayerful, and we confess that sin to you today. Lord, I ask that you would move in each and every one of our hearts, that you would bring us to the conviction that prayer truly does change things, it truly does change us, and it always brings us closer to you. And I pray that you would give to us a courage this morning to make a covenant with you right now that we are not going to ever again allow there to be such long periods of prayerlessness, or prayer that's just going through the motions, or prayer that's a lot more like talking with a stranger instead of our Father, but that we are going to come to you every single day, and we're going to bring to you those people that are most precious to us, and we're going to invite you to work in their hearts and lives. We're going to bring to you our problems. We're going to bring to you our frustrations, our disappointments, our hurts, our pains. And we are going to invite you, Lord, to heal. We're going to invite you to reduce or remove pain. We're going to invite you, Lord, to finish the work that you've started in us in bringing that pain in the first place. And we're going to invite you to glorify yourself in how you answer the prayers that we bring to you. Lord, I pray that in our journey to become disciples who know you more intimately, we ask that you would encourage us in this area of prayer. We can't do it. We've tried. And by ourselves, we just keep failing miserably. So, Lord, would this be the time that you are pleased to engage with us and to make our senses more aware of your presence, to give us eyes that would be able to see the answers to the requests that we share with you, so that our hearts would be encouraged, that we might have more confidence as we pray that we really do have your ear and that you really are excited that we're asking and that you really are going to answer every single time we pray. And Lord, as that confidence grows, would you enable us to have even more confidence that we do belong to you because of the evidence that we see as a result of our prayer life. Lord, we love you, and we just thank you again for delivering us from what you've delivered us from. We thank you for bringing us into your family and into the kingdom of God. We can't wait to be with you for eternity. We can't wait to have all of the junk that pulls us down completely and gone forever. But Lord, until that time, we just pray that as we make the effort to draw near to you, you will make good on your assurance and your promise to draw near to us, and that we would become more and more like Jesus because of the hours of the day that we spend with you. Whether we're on our knees or behind the wheel or at the job site, Lord, that your presence really, really, really would be heaven to us. So give us a great week. Would you work in us, even as we will ask you throughout the week to do, accomplish your will, glorify your name, encourage our hearts. And Lord, help us to choose you first every day. And we'll thank you for it. And we'll ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you guys. Thanks so much for being here. Have a great week. You're dismissed.